I was in prison, and you came to visit me. With these words, Christ challenges each of us to spend time serving those who, because of circumstance or bad choices, can't serve themselves. Welcome to Someone Cares, a faith ministry dedicated to helping us all answer that challenge. For many years, this outreach program has carried healing doses of hope and Christian love behind prison walls and touched the lives of those in desperate need of both. I'm your Someone Cares radio host, Charles Mills. I can't think of a more lonely time for someone who is a resident of our prison system than the holidays, especially Christmas. You're shut away from everyone and everything that brought you joy and comfort in the past. You know full well that your mistakes have set you adrift. You're paying the price for your actions. But the God represented by Christmas still loves you. That fact remains and should be supported. Well, it is, thanks to our guest today. Lemuel Vega runs a prison ministry called Christmas Behind Bars, and I've invited him to talk to us today about that ministry and what it means to those shut away from society. Lemuel, welcome to Someone Cares.
Oh, I sure thank you for having us on your program.
Now, I want to tell my audience that this man is presently sitting in his car, pulled off to the side, of course, so he can be safe, doing this interview because he's between appointments for Christmas Behind Bars. That's how busy this volunteer is. Lemuel, tell us about the project. What motivated you to begin such a busy and unique ministry?
Well, because I was incarcerated myself, and I remember the volunteers that came at some of the lowest moments in my life, and it brought me hope just to know that people cared about me during that time of my life.
Why did you choose Christmas, and is this just a Christmas thing? It's not Christmas time right now when we're doing this interview, yet you're busy.
No, Christmas Behind Bars is one of the loneliest times of one's incarceration. If ever you had any happy time at all in your life, if you did, and sometimes in dysfunctional families, you don't have a happy Christmas, but something about the holidays is a special uniqueness about that. And we just miss our families, we miss our friends, and we're just lonely. That was my experience when I was incarcerated. All the other holidays would come and go. But the true meaning of Christmas is applicable 365 days a year. It's not designated to December or December the 25th, but it's sharing the gospel message, the salvation, the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the soon return of Christ. Because without that hope in one's life, without that promise to let them know that there's hope for their life, our desire is to encourage them to try one more time, to just try one more time. And by God's grace, they will succeed.
Oh, I like that, because even Christ himself would say, you know, I'm glad you're celebrating my birthday, Christmas, but I've been here all year. I will be here throughout all the days of the year. It's just not a Christmas thing. And that's what you're telling people.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. I first thought this program ministry was not my idea. I have 21 years clean by God's grace. I've been in prison myself. At 13 years old, I told my mother I don't want anything more to do with God, with church. I said, I'm a teenager. I've got this. And by the time I was 18, five simple years, I'm sitting in the county jail facing 10 to 20 years in prison with a bond of $110,000.
Oh,
so I was on my way to try to make things okay. And then going to prison myself, then the volunteers that came, it's just a beautiful thing to be able to go back and give back. So went to prison. Prison doesn't change one's life. Got out, struggled with addiction for about 11 years. And it was 21 years ago, sick and ready to die, that a pastor came to have prayer with me in the hospital room. I was either going to commit suicide, go back to prison, or I was going to die. And he came and had prayer with me, and he left, and I was in the valley of decision. But he brought me a bit of hope at the darkest time in my life, because the doctors couldn't help me with their methadone, their antabuse. I didn't want another prescription. That's what they were offered in a treatment program. I had narcotics. They were in the parking lot. I went into treatment, and when they told me about another Band-Aid, I knew I needed more than that. The pastor came. He had prayer with me. He left. But that inspired me to try one more time. And when I got out of that hospital, we began going to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it was that same pastor's wife that had the idea of making some packages for Polk County Jail. And by God's grace, this ministry has grown from one county jail to many, many states across the country, prisons and jails, to let them know there's hope for their life.
I want to digress just slightly, Lemuel. You mentioned that you told your mom, you know, I'm out of here, I got this. Is there anything she could have done at that moment that could have changed what happened next? Is there anything she could have said? If you could go back and say, Mom, tell me this, is there anything she could have done?
She was loving, kind. She was Christian. She would be kneeling by her bed with her Bible open, claiming God's promises when I'd come in late at night. Mm-hmm. And she'd be praying, and I'd say, Mom, give it a break. So no, I was already headed double barrel out into the world. So she continued to pray. And my mama never lived long enough to see a change in my life, but her prayers helped in my life.
Oh, that is such good news for men and women right now who have children who are struggling. You know, you can do everything, listener. You can do it all. You can read your Bible. You can share God's love. You can do all these things. But there is something stronger than we are. There is something stronger than our goodness and our desire and our hope. And sometimes, and this is a good example, sometimes all of our best efforts don't work. But there's a God who follows that son or daughter behind bars. There's a God who does not give up and does not have the option of failure, because this God is going to keep at it. Am I on the right track here, Lemuel?
Amen and amen. Without him, we can do nothing. Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's where our hope comes from.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here you are incarcerated. Tell us a little bit about prison life. Those of us listening to the program who have never been in prison, we have no concept of what it is. We see television programs about it, but what is it really like, and what should we know about it before we attempt to even help someone through the Someone Cares letter writing program or the Christmas Behind Bars program? What do we need to know about prisoners and prison that would help us in our ministry to those people?
First of all, I told my wife not so very long ago on the way to a prison, early in the morning, we saw the lights way off in the distance, and I took her hand and I said, baby, I believe that this is one of the last reachable people groups in the United States of America, because they want internal change. They've done wrong. They feel shamed. They wish they could go back and change it. I believe 100% of them, that was not their intended destination.
Right.
So their lives continue to unfold in a negative way, finding themselves in prison. And now that's a wonderful time to reach them with the gospel message. So stay encouraged. If you're involved in prison ministries, or if you want to be involved in the letter writing ministries, please, please. I do want to say, you want to keep it on a Christ level. You don't want to unfold your life in a personal level and get all invested like that, because we need to share the gospel with it and keep it on that level.
Mm. Our guest today is Lemuel Vega. He is the founder director of Christmas Behind Bars. And now we understand a little bit more why it's called Christmas Behind Bars, because the God of Christmas is a God who is there 365 days a year. So he's bringing that God, that concept, to the lives of people behind bars. So what do you do exactly? What's a typical day for you and a typical visit to a prison that you and your wife apparently are doing for these people?
2 weeks ago, we were at a huge prison, a maximum security prison in Arkansas. We had made 1,800 gift packages. They all have a devotional book in there, a different one. We try to use 30 different ones. They have ramen noodles, chips, snacks, pretzels, cookies, things like that. And we go through there and we unload the packages into the prison. They go through, they inspect them, then they put them in an area. Then they have the inmates come out in groups anywhere from 100 to 250 maybe at a time. And then we're able to have services for them. The service consists of singing some song. We open with prayer. We ask the inmates to come up and open with prayer. We try to give all those inmates a study Bible, whoever was willing to come open with prayer. Then we have probably 15 minutes to sing some songs. And then we have scripture, testimonies of people that have been incarcerated. And then we close with prayer. We want to let them know there's hope for their life and encourage them to try one more time. They receive their gift package. And the beauty of the gift package is it's full of information, free materials from 3ABN, Harvest Time Books, United Prison Ministries, Secrets Unsealed. So many ministries put their material for free book and Bible study offers in the bag. And so that's the gift that keeps on giving all year long. The physical food is just an opportunity to encourage them, let them know they're loved, they're not forgotten. Physically, we've done all that we can when we leave that prison, shake their hands, give them a hug, pray with them. And I had a Muslim guy in Kentucky, and he came up to me and he said, my mom is really, really sick, and I want to know if you'd have prayer for her. So we went in the back, we had prayer together, and I found out he was the main Muslim leader in the whole prison. Mm. The next year we went back, and I was thinking about him, and he came up to me, he said, you probably don't remember me. I said, yes. I said, how's your mama doing? Mm. He said, I'd like to know if you'd have prayer with me. I'm thinking about being a Christian. Hmm. And I just met him down at another prison in Kentucky. Just met him, and he thanked me so much for that study Bible that was sent to him, and he's on the upward trail. So praise God.
You know, this really outlines something that a lot of people may miss, and that is that when we go into prisons, whether it's in the form of a letter that we write for Someone Cares or some of these other ministries and Christmas Behind Bars, we're really not the ones that make the change in the people's lives. It's the Holy Spirit we leave behind that makes the change. Am I on the right track here?
Come on, brother. Amen. We're called to serve, so we have an opportunity to go, and it's the power of God, and then God gets the props. Mm. As they pray, we just encourage them to pray, to try one more time, then God gets the honor and glory. It wasn't the volunteers that came, but yet those are stepping stones. Those are avenues that God uses to bless those people that are behind bars, but he also blesses the people out here that are willing to serve him.
Is there an event or a story that you would like to share? Why you get up in the morning, why you get in your car, why you drive these many miles, why you visit these people? Is there something that we need to know that you've seen or heard that really says this is why Christmas Behind Bars exists?
Well, there was a lady that got arrested. She was in the county jail, and someone began to tell her about the Sabbath. Never heard about the Sabbath before. She's in the county jail. Some reason she got transferred to solitary confinement. It was written on the wall that the seventh day is the Sabbath. Yeah. And in her bag, she got the book by Danny Shelton's Ten Commandments Twice Removed. Mm-hmm. So out of 30 different books, God allowed her to get that specific book. She wrote that, I now know without a shadow of a doubt that the Sabbath is Saturday and it's the Lord's Day. So anyway, many, many stories. The Muslim man, I have people come up just all across the board, and they just said, because you've been here, we can relate to that, and that they're willing to try through that. Somebody asked me, they said, how many people have been saved through your ministry? I said, oh, I don't know, sir. I said, I don't have any idea. We're just simply sowing seeds.
Oh, my. That is a beautiful message to give. It's not about the numbers. It's about the attempt. It's not about the data. It's about the desire that we have in our hearts to be of service and to be the stepping stones that the Holy Spirit can tiptoe across right through those prison bars and touch lives. That's what people are waiting for there. What's the future look like for Christmas Behind Bars? Any new exciting plans we should know about?
We just got an email from a warden in South Carolina, Maximum Security Women's Prison down there. They would like us to come there. We don't know how that's going to be possible. We need funding to help with products, devotional books. We need Bibles. So there's prisons. Virginia has asked us to come back. 2 years ago, we were granted the opportunity to visit every inmate in the state of Virginia. That was 30,000 men and women that was encouraged for Christ through these simple, humble gift packages. So anybody who would like to help, they could contact us, ChristmasBehindBars.org. So the website's ChristmasBehindBars.org.
All right, listener, you want to be a stepping stone today? You want to be something that the Holy Spirit can use to help reach someone behind bars? Well, there's a website, and there's a lot of them, including the SomeoneCares.org website. These are ways that you, yes, you, listener, you can become partners with the Holy Spirit to bring joy, happiness, and eternal life to people behind bars. It's just so exciting. I'm so excited every time I just talk to people about this. It makes me excited, and I hope it's making you excited too. Lemuel Vega, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your heart. We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
We thank you, and you have a lovely day.
And listener, this is Charles Mills along with Lemuel Vega, reminding you that through you, someone cares. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening to Someone Cares. If you'd like to become part of this vital prison outreach ministry, visit SomeoneCares.org and discover ways you can safely and effectively touch the lives of incarcerated men and women with God's love. Again, that web address is SomeoneCares.org. This program was produced by Lifetalk Radio.